For more than a decade, FTI has strived to become the leader in the aftermarket performance transmission and converter industry. We've joined forces with McLeod Driveline Components under the leadership of top fuel funny car pilot Paul Lee, and now have a larger distribution network, more resources, and more power. Come see us in the pits and ask how you can join the FTI family. It's not cheating. It is the competitive edge.
It's time for an inside look at the most powerful motorsport on the planet. WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
Hey everybody, WFO Radio back on the air. Joe Costello back with you as we are getting ready for the big 4th of July weekend. Happy birthday, America. Always one of my favorite holidays, the favorite holiday, honestly, with the fireworks and the grilling and the summer, and it's just amazing. And we're going to have a good time. On this show, we're going to catch up with Ron Capps. Ron Capps won Bristol, first race in the GR Supra, but we were on to Norwalk, and I knew I wanted to spend a little time with Capps because we hadn't spoken with him in a while since the big Vegas win. And so there's a lot on the table to catch up with Capps about. Catching up with Capps, it actually kind of sounds catchy. We'll do that. First, I want to tell you about the people who make it possible to go WFO. If you got questions for Ron, of course, he's always down for that. The people who make it possible, though, Phillips-Connect, smart trailer technology. We talk about the sensors and the over-the-road trucks and trailers and all the plugs and everything that is connected to keep the drivers and the loads on time, tracked, safe. All of these things, Phillips-Connect.com. It is an enterprise business. So if you're in the transportation industry, you definitely want to investigate because there are many ways to protect your loads, save money. Phillips-Connect.com. Also, Total Seal Piston Rings, the leader in ring seal technology. Hartford got into it a little bit. It was hot out there, right? And when people get hot, they get uncomfortable, they get irritable, and there's friction. That's what we saw, right? But Total Seal is trying to reduce the friction inside your engine. Did you know that over 40% of your engine's friction comes from the piston rings? Well, they are doing their best to reduce that number as low as possible. Go to TotalSeal.com to find out more information, from stock eliminator to Formula One, all the way up to the Nitro ranks. They have some great solutions. Go to TotalSeal.com. VP Racing Fuel, 25% off VP lubricants. Tomorrow is the last day. 25% off VP lubricants for engine builders. Reach out to them at vpracingfuels.com to find out more information. And FTI Performance Transmissions and Torque Converters. $1 million bracket races going on as we speak. Countless FTI Performance Transmissions and Torque Converters in competition. And, you know, what are the odds? It's like FTI versus the field on winning the race. Let's track that one. Let's see how it goes. FTI Performance Transmissions and Torque Converters. Later on in the show, we'll tell you about samtech.edu, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School, and Marvin Rodak's Coffee and Grills.com, Hot Sauces and Spice Rubs. Of course, I'll tell you how to join the Patreons. But now, let's go out to Cali and catch up with a team owner who is now a two-time winner in the National Hot Rod Association, Mr. Ron Capps. What's up, Ron? How are you?
How you doing, Joe? It's good to be home, at least for a couple weeks.
Yeah. 2 weeks, and then on to the Western Swing, which, if memory serves me right, at least in the past, you guys would take the RV and do that deal. Are you going to do that again? Is it still going to be a family trip? Or now that you're a team owner, added responsibilities puts the kibosh on that. What's the story?
Yeah, not this year. We're kind of bummed out. We usually do it up the Central Coast where I grew up and go to Paso Robles and Pismo Beach and all that, and then head up to Sonoma, and it's been such a tradition with all of our friends and family. So we're not doing it this year. This ownership thing is, it's been fun and it's been challenging, but just trying to stay buckled down, and hopefully we'll be celebrating and taking a vacation at the end of the year.
You know what? Exactly. Right. Former driver Ron Capps, now talking to team owner Ron Capps, like, dude, there's going to be responsibilities. Like, no responsibilities. But whatever, it's going so well for you, and to break through for the first two wide win at Thunder Valley, and more importantly, the first win of the GR Supra, huge milestone for those guys. We haven't spoken with you since the big announcement to Toyota, so we got a lot to cover, but I think we should talk about the race win first, right? Breaking through, hot, tricky, challenging. You've won in Bristol before, but this one was special for many reasons. Just give us your overview.
Well, obviously coming on board with Toyota, you know, we sort of looked at our season. We feel like we were into our second part of our season already, because we started with the Supra body in Charlotte, the four wide, went to the final round, unloaded with a 388, I think it was, the first lap, which I think I've said in the press room, I probably gave Guido the biggest man hug I've ever given anybody, because it was the, you know, we felt a lot of pressure to go up there and show Toyota that they made the right decision. And Guido made a great call with Madeline and the guys to go up the very first run with a completely different body on the car, which doesn't sound like a whole lot to maybe some casual fans, but it was an enormous change. And then having the data that Dell Worsham and Jono and all the guys on DHL and Alexis's team, you know, all the stuff that they did, Slugger and all, it was just nice to do that. So that was sort of our new season. Obviously getting a win in Vegas was awesome. And doing that as an owner and a driver and first time owner win was huge. But so it took some massaging and a lot of man hours by our crew that should have had some more days off. But we got this body and it's just been, you know, they've been on it, and I can't even, you know, you hear drivers thank their crew and all that a lot, but man, our team's been, they've been on it. So hopefully they get a little bit of a break here next couple of weeks.
Yeah. Well, I love to hear you say that, right? Because it's just a new level. You saw it with Snake, him become an owner from a driver, and you were on the other end of it, crews, the guys, all of that. And now you get a chance to be that guy and be in that experience. And you go out and you get the win with the new body. Let's talk over Wilkerson in the final round. You took down Robert in the second round. You were on stage with Paul Lee. You had to race your old car. That's kind of cool, right? You knew what they had. You had a little fun with us. We made you the marquee matchup because you were going up against your old car. And Paul has got, you know, Dustin and Jason Bunker over there. He's kind of re-emerging as a threat. But you got through him. You got through Robert. Anytime you can do that, that's a huge deal. Got through Alexis, another Toyota, and then Wilk in the final round, which there has to be a little, you know, mini vengeance for Indy last year, right? Like Wilk.
We got Wilked.
You got Wilked.
I'm going to make a shirt up. We got Wilked.
Got Wilked, question mark.
But yeah, you're right. What's funny about that first round with Paul Lee was that was my old car and our old assistant crew chief, Dustin. But I'm sitting in the staging lanes waiting for that first round. I look over. And there's Ron Tobler talking to those guys, talking to Jason Buckner. And I'm like, all right, I see how it is. And so I think he had just ran his first round of Top Fuel. And he was over there and looking at their book. And I've seen him do it a million times as my crew chief. So I knew what they were up to. And, I, you know, obviously we knew that was a great car. And you can't discount that tune-up. So I've been behind the wheel of that tune-up many times. But we knew it was a tough matchup, so that was huge. But the worst part was the explosion at the finish line. Obviously, that track, the fans have heard us talk about how, let's see, the word, I want to use the proper word, challenging, I guess, would be pretty bumpy and cylinders being dropped. And on race day, you just got to stay in it. And it put one out down there 700 or 800 feet and kaboom. And the worst part was we just gotten that Supra body. That was our first brand new one. So obviously, we had to go to a backup, but we had a lot of Tony Schumacher's team come over and help, and we barely made it up. I got suited up in the pit area, and we rolled up, and we have Robert Height, who's on, you know, a terror and leading the points. So we knew it was a huge matchup in the points on top of that. But what was cool is our explosion run first round, I guess it was low ET that round looking back, but it also gave us lane choice over Robert, which was at the time we thought was pretty big. So Guido picked the right lane and we got that round win, which was again, huge in so many aspects. Obviously that's a great car. It's a final round championship matchup, but to get that win early and gain some points was big. And, you know, then we had our new teammates. I've got two new teammates, which is awesome, with Toyota, with Alexis and JR, which ironically, when fans ask a lot, like who do you hang out with? You know, who's your friends when you go out at night? And I always say I don't have a whole lot of driver friends. I mostly hang out with crew chiefs and crew members because that's kind of where I started. And but Alexis has always been so cool and fun to hang out with. as is JR, but also their team members. Obviously, Dale Worsham, I think the world of him. I've raced with him and around him, had a lot of fun with him, and Jono and the Yellow Fellows. So it's kind of cool having that. But to race them in the semis, we knew a Toyota GR Super was going to the final. That was the cool thing. And we had Slugger there. We had Lisa. We had all the people from Toyota happened to be at that race, being close to Charlotte. So once we got in the final round, it was here's Wilkerson. And we had just had the conversation about, you know, somebody at NHRA put out a thing saying it was a two-car race. And likely it was. I mean, Hagen and Height were really winning everything and running really well, even though we had two or three poles. But that's a car that you know is going to come around, Wilkerson, as is like last week, and JR and Alexis and everybody else running good. But like you said, you can't count out Tim Wilkerson. And so that was tough. You can taste the win. You know you got a good chance. You have the lane that you want. You have everything that you need. We've run good all day. We were low ET of every run. But for Guida to go up and run the 3-second run in the final was just an exclamation point. And it was great. Wilkerson came over at the top end and said, dude, that's just, you know, you can't do anything about that. And so I was a lucky guy behind the wheel, but what a big, big win with the Toyota people there.
Yes. Well, I've spoken with Lisa from Toyota, and they've done such a great job investing in a way that I think is necessary for drag racing, which is to showcase you guys, like your, commercial, like you got room for one more, right? Like, like you're acting, everybody's acting. It kind of goes back to the Napa days with you and Michael Waltrip, where they're showcasing the personalities, and JR, you know, JR can act. He's a funny guy. He can deliver a line.
Yeah, the hungover on horsepower stuff they did with Antron and Langdon and JR, I mean, it's just classic. So funny.
Yeah.
So the hopefully they do more stuff. Yeah.
Hopefully, too. The clown one that they did the other day.
But yeah, that was awesome.
It's awesome. They're big into it, and they're trying. You can see them trying. And you get the first win for the Supra. I'm happy for you. The Yellow Fellas and Dell, the guys who were there originally working on it, trying to figure it all out. But only one person can get that accolade, right? But really, you kind of said it. You took the data that they provided. Toyota is a team. To have the Supra win a race so rapidly, I think that's a big deal.
Yeah, and it's, the fans, there's been a little bit of backlash on some of the fans. And, hey, I get it. I'm passionate about my sports and my teams. And if a player that I think is a loyal player in the 49ers, my team goes some, there's this – thing. I get that. I get the passion. I've had some pretty interesting things social media wise and at the races where people just don't understand. And what cracks me up is they don't understand that Toyota has been around 60 years with plants in the U.S. and how much they've done in the U.S. and all the stuff. And most of the time they look at the VIN number on their car they think is American. It's not even built in America like a Toyota. So anyway, it's been fun at times. I had an old guy yelling at me at Bristol. He came up in the middle of me packing the chute going to the final round and started berating me in front of all these other fans about me making a switch.
Right.
And he loved me before, and now he can't love me anymore. And he had a ponytail, and he did have, I think, a hat. Something gave me the idea that he had served for our country. So I was, listen, I got all the respect in the world, and that's the last person I'm going to say anything to. But he's yelling at me about making a switch, and he has one of those free shirts they gave out at Indy from the other manufacturer that sponsored the Indy race a couple of years ago. Yeah. And I'm like, dude, you do know what shirt you're wearing for yelling at me from switching from that manufacturer to a Toyota. And the fans had fun with it, but he was angry. My gosh. So I understand. I love the passion of our fans. I don't care what it is, what other driver, it doesn't matter. But so that's been interesting, to say the least. That's stuff that you may not know. A lot of fans don't understand that goes on. And I've had to block a few people on social media, which you never want to do. But listen, it's just all about passion. And what we love, right?
Yes. And passion should go to your drive. Well, it all depends, right? It all depends. There's a million things. See, like, okay, there might have been a time where I didn't follow a driver from one manufacturer to another manufacturer. And in this case, maybe there, when I was younger, I would have done this. And there's, my grandfather was in a bomber over over Germany in World War II. My dad served in the Marine Corps. He was raised in that post-World War II, period, where it was a big deal. They made a big deal in the show Mad Men about it, like that transition. But here's what's important to know. It's like those countries were rebuilt with our Marshall Plan. And they were kind of brought, now they're like as good friends as we can have now in the very difficult world. That's part one. And part two, we're in the sport of drag racing, which it has to keep going. And Toyota is there. Like, we want to help. We like drag racing. We appreciate drag racing. We want Ron. Who else wanted Ron? You know what I mean? Like, they wanted you the most. They show there. Who's making the commercials? Who's promoting drag racing? And I think that they have earned the respect to be considered with the American manufacturing and all of these different things. I think Toyota has put their money where their mouth is, and they have made the investment and the commitment to people in drag racing to make that opinion now a thing of the past. That is all. I think it should be something that was once upon a time, but now is no longer. Because they have proven what they are and what they want to do. That's where I come from.
It's so true. And, it's just, I shop at the store. And a lot of times if you're standing there and you're looking at products at the grocery store, I will make decisions based on if they sponsored a car in NASCAR or drag racing. That's just the passion that I have. And I don't care if it's somebody I compete against. If they're showing loyalty that they're helping our sport or the sport of racing or whatever it might be. So I've always been that way. And I've always admired Toyota from afar, like looking at what they've done in other motorsports, but just the passion. I had no idea what I was getting into and how much help and how many great people. And I said this the other day that it was a life-changing thing that happened. It really was on my front with my ownership and this team. It could not have been a better thing. I could go on and on about it. I mean, just the help at the track, but the amazing stuff behind the scenes that these are amazing people. So it's been fun. And I think it's just going to grow and grow and grow. So that being said, we were ecstatic to get that win. It was bigger than you can imagine. And then roll that into Norwalk and to get number one qualifier with the first pole for the GR Supra was another big thing. So felt a little bit bad with the win and the pole. You know, the Lexus and JR, they put a lot of hard work, those teams, a lot of hard work getting that body from scratch. We kind of, people think we came along and took it because we won the championship, but that's not how it happened. It actually started a conversation with them last year, when I decided I was going to try to go do my own thing. So, we're just getting more and more accustomed to the body. Guido is getting more and more comfortable. He used to go up and just say on a Friday night, he'd go, it's going to run 86 and it would go 85.8. And I've been lucky. Tobler was the same way, but Guido, he's done it time and time again. And first couple of few races, he was trying to get used to this body. We didn't know what it liked and what it didn't like. And so he was doing that the last couple of races and actually did it in the final round in Bristol. He actually called that high 390 run. So that was impressive. And I laughed at him when he said it to me before the final. I'm like, it's going to smoke the tires if you try to go 390. As did everybody else in the grandstands, and you and Reinhardt and Brian Lones, it all were blown away by that 398. So
yeah,
it's just going to get better and better, I think, for us.
Total throwdown. Okay. And so on that, I want to go a little bit further into it because, Derek wants to know, not this comment by Derek, this comment from Derek, switching the body.
I want to know what the other one was.
It was about getting a smart car. Something you can switch to a smart car and I'd still support you. You've got to work with who you've got to work, people to work with you. So it was actually a nice comment. And Monica said something, I'm a Mopar girl, but I will follow Ron no matter what he drives. And ultimately, man, it's 4th of July weekend coming up. Like the day that we get into World War III against another country, those Toyota factories are going to be building stuff for us. Like that's where we are now. They're with us. And so I don't know. I just don't feel that way anymore. I used to. And so did I,
honestly. Yeah. 60 years. I had no idea. I got so many. I was blown away by the stuff I learned when I signed on with Toyota. Unbelievable. So It's cool. It's been an onion to sort of unfold of all this cool stuff. I had no idea. I'm like you and like a lot of fans. So my goal has been sort of to let the fans know what I slowly learned. And hey, if I can do that, then because I'm still a fan. So I feel the same way.
Right. And you know what? Also, if the people can't get there, let them go. Right. Like, that's the thing. Let them go. Like, they have the right to do that, too. They can root against you and you have enough fans that you can handle that. Regardless. And Derek says, if you keep winning, you're going to have to build more shelves. Yeah. What is this? A new look? We're getting a new location here. New
outer room. If I showed you the other room, I'll shoot a video and post it. It's funny. I literally have doorstops. Wally's for doorstops for the kids' room, for the office here. We started putting them in other rooms. It's pretty fun. And it's something I never in a million years thought I would ever have a problem with running out of room for these Wally's.
That's funny. Courtney Anders out there with a little couple of hearts, snap of blue and yellow, which is cool. Courtney, her sister, is dominating pro stock like no one has in a long, long time. But you go from Bristol to Summit Motorsports Park. And I think at this moment, let me just give you the opportunity to talk about Bruton Smith and Bill Bader Sr. Oh, my goodness. Two total icons of the sport, promotion, tracks, racing beyond NHRA. We lose two of them in back-to-back weeks, so it's a tough day. I know you've had interactions with both of them. Bader Sr., obviously, with the Night Under Fire and all you've done for over the years with those guys. Bruton, countless, going back to, you know, Vegas and building four wides and going crazy. What do you have to say about those two amazing titans of drag racing and motorsports?
God, just movers and shakers, the guys that, you know, like in a lot of things in life, people that preceded us, that stepped out their comfort zone to try things to make it better. And we are the ones that benefited. Bruton, unbelievable. Luckily, you know, driving for Snake all those years, I've got to be friends with a lot of really cool people that I admired as a kid, like admired, looked up to. Bruton, one of them, and come up with the idea for the four wide. And people don't understand, when they built the Vegas drag strip, the very first time they built it, it's four wide, and they just covered the other two lanes up with dirt. So all these years, it's had the other two lanes, and that was Bruton's idea. So I don't know what year we went to the Vegas race the first time. It was four wide. If you stand back and look, there's half of a tower behind the starting line.
Yep.
He was already thinking four wide way back then. So a lot of vision, a lot of cool stuff. And Marcus, his son, is big time drag race fan. And that is a benefit for our sport for sure. So, you know, I just hope the next step for that family there is to put something near Atlanta Motor Speedway. How about a drag strip down there, Marcus?
Yes.
But a Bader family, I mean, you can't even, any fan, we get asked all the time, Joe, I know you do and I do, what track should I go to? What should be on my bucket list of drag strips, it's races. And I always say Brainerd, of course, because it's the zoo.
Right.
But any Bruton track, I've always said, but you've got to go to Norwalk. If you can't go to Norwalk, NHRA race, the Night Under Fire, which I am doing this year. We haven't announced it yet, but I guess we just did.
There it is. Chaps, breaking news, Night Under Fire right here on WFO. Share this show. Get the word out.
August 6th, and that is the first time I read about it as a kid on the West Coast. Never had any idea. The first time we went, I was like, now I get it. Now I get what all the talk is about the Bader family and this track, and it's unbelievable. So anyway, yeah, just two great, huge losses. But, you know, it was really cool to see all the fanfare and people just talking about both of them.
Yeah, it's just tough stuff. Heading out on the Western Swing next. We'll talk a little bit about that. But let's move to Norwalk, where it was hot. And it got hot on the starting line. So let's just get right to it, team owner. Will there be any disciplinary action against your crew chief, Dean Antonelli, for saying bad words?
I don't think so.
No, he's off the hook just like that.
Well, I've heard Forrest say way worse stuff on live network TV. Way worse. But yeah.
I'm kidding, Guido. Yeah, it's obviously
a lot of people watching NHRA TV. I got all kinds of text messages. I didn't have any idea. I was dealing with my own thing inside the car. And, you know, all these characters and these other drivers that have these tendencies that they do when they drive, you know, that's what makes funny car is so, you know, we joked about, you know, I gave somebody crap in the press room a little bit on their article in a fun way about them saying it was a two-car race. in June. Like they were handing out the trophy in June. And I look back at points last year and Tasca was tearing up last year. And I don't think anybody in the top five ended up in the top five from last year in May. So it was just funny. And in JR's comments, you know, on the TV show after going to the final round, the same thing. He's like, they're giving away the championship trophy in June. So where was I going with that, Joe? I forgot.
Yeah, well, we're just talking about how the okay. So Guido got mad at, but this is all part of the same thing, right? Like I ask you about that, and you start talking about this team is slightly disrespected. Let's go with that. This team slightly disrespected. You mentioned it after the Vegas final. You were the team that didn't really get talked up in the Vegas final. You know, Brian is a great friend of both of ours, and you've got four cars to talk about, and one didn't get full coverage. It happened to be the reigning champ last year in your championship battle. It was like, who's going to be the champion? Oh, it's Ron Capps. Wow, weird. I notice it. It's just a thing. I don't know why it's a thing. You're obviously picking up on the thing and it's uncomfortable. And if we turn it up to 100 degrees and something happens on the starting line, people can get irritable. Dean did. It was awesome. I appreciate him for doing that. But it seems to me that this team feels slightly disrespected. Is that true?
Not disrespected. And the reason I jump up on the soapbox is my team can't do it. My crew chief can't do it. I'm the one that gets out of the car and I have the microphone and we win. I get to go to the press room and all that. So I'm bragging on my team and for my team. And they probably wouldn't if they had a microphone in front of them. But I feel obliged to brag. And I said it in Bristol. And the first thing I said was it just wasn't our team. I said, there are a lot of good teams. And Wilkerson was one of them who made the final. I said, watch out. This is what, and this is where I was just going when I got lost with you a minute ago. Funny car, never fails to bring it every year. The parity and the teams that get hot, a couple cars get hot, and then some more cars. And by the time we get to the countdown, you've got 10 cars that are running extremely well, and the fans are the ones that benefit the best. And Funny Car again did it last year. I mean, went down to the wire. Obviously, we were right there. So you can't write off what's going to happen. That's what makes it fun. Like I said, look back at last year, Tasca was tearing it like he was going to run away with it until we got near the summer. And then everybody kind of caught up. And so wasn't disrespected, but I did say there's a lot of teams that probably feel like they're giving away the trophy here for the championship in June. And it's kind of funny, but it's also a compliment that I read those articles. I love the five things we learned from the last race, you know, from NHRA.com. I love little things like that. So with that being said, I was just bragging on my team. And then we went out and won. So it was cool that we were able to get that win. And then we drag it to Norwalk and we go low qualifier and we make it to the semis. So there's going to be a lot of teams quietly. J.R. Todd's team, they ran probably one of the best cars all day Sunday, ET-wise. Alexis and Dell ran great. Just look at the cars that were throwing down. Chad Green, oh, my God, that car. It's better than Wilkerson's car, and he'll tell you that. That car is lethal. You do not want to run that car. So it's going to be fun for the fans these next five or six races.
Well, vocal crew chiefs, right? You got Daniel Wilkerson, who is vocal. He has no filter. Poor kid. No filter. Like, he just – you ask him something, and he says it, and it's like, oh, that was bad. I love what Guido did though, because for those, my starting line, I don't know what you saw, right?
And I haven't heard. All I heard, I just heard what was tweeted and what people watching on the show had said that he said he was angry, and I understand he was angry. And you know, hey, it is what it is. For me, it got me madder in the car, and I ended up having one of the best lights I had, and we probably needed it because it was a close race, but. Yeah, Guido, these crew chiefs, man, I don't know how they sleep at night. So what did he say? Chicken shit, shit.
Well, that's what made the air. Like the first thing was, okay, so you went, I'm watching the whole thing play down. And I noticed a little bit of, you know, starting line games, but you and I have spoken about that. I like that. I like when Cruz does that. I like when Hartford did it to Erica because it gives us something to talk about. It's not always the same. Oh, there was something, right? But Dean didn't like it. And so I'm going to interview him about winning the race because that's what matters. And all of a sudden he comes right over to me, but past me, and he goes, you tell Cruz that he's an, and I'll let people imagine that. And I'm like, oh, the interview is going to change. So it comes
down. All good stuff.
down to Joe. And I was like, well, Dean, you guys won, but you just had a little something to say for the guys in the other lane. What is that all about? And so he gave a nice answer. And I thought, oh, man, in my mind, I'm like, oh, he's pulled it back big time. Right. He's like he's getting corporate. Cap's got him all coached up to be corporate. And he goes, that's chicken shit shit. I was like, that's what people want to hear. And you could hear the crowd. The crowd, and they were like, oh, wow. You know, like it's a thing that just happened. And he walked off. And I thought to myself, good job, Guido. That's what people want to know. They want to feel something, man. And it's no big deal. I'm sure those guys over there, JC, of course, no, nobody's taking anything personally. There's not going to be a physical altercation. It's just a moment that happened. And then you obviously heard about it.
Yeah, I heard way later. I had no idea, you know. Hey, you can do whatever you want at the starting line. Just, I guess the crew chiefs, it seems like it's that time of the year where it's warming up and you're going to see a little more emotion come out, which is great, you know, but, yeah, I was shocked. I haven't seen that side of Guido, even when we raced against him. So, and him and JC are tight, you know, they're all friends. So it's not like, he had an issue. And it's funny. I got yelled at one time by Jim Dunn to Ed McCulloch that I took too long to roll up to the beams, you know, the pre-stage light. And I told a story at the Lions drag strip reunion that they did at the museum in LA a couple weeks ago. And I'll never forget it because Ace, who's going to go up and talk shit to Ace? Well,
nobody.
Yeah, it was Jim Dunn. And I think we were the Copenhagen car, or US Tobacco, whatever we were. Maybe it was the Brute car. And we got back to pit area and Ace came in. You know, when he starts touching his glasses, something dramatic's going to happen with Ace. You don't want to be near him. And he said, listen, Jim Dunn came over and said, you need to hurry up your process. So I'm going to make my process a little quicker so that we're not waiting on, you know, we're not late getting to the line. Because Ace knew it wasn't all my fault, but I went over and apologized to Jim Dunn. I said, it won't happen again. And it never has since. So that was pretty interesting.
That is interesting. Look, this is what people, Monica says that she thought it was great. Everybody thought it was great. They liked that stuff. I'm sure Cruz thought he didn't like losing, but that's fine. And we had it in Pro Stock too with Erica and Matt Hartford. And Hartford's like, I'm 6 hun behind. Like, I know I'm 6 hun behind. What am I supposed to do? Nothing? Just take my whooping? No, I'm going to try to do something. So now they're not in, they don't have nitro in the tank. So it is a little bit different. But I don't know. I think this is what people want to see. And because it was hot and uncomfortable, people were uncomfortable. They were irritable and they were not afraid to say so. But it was good stuff. In the rearview mirror, though. Yeah, look at you. You're laughing. Now we're going out on the Western Swing. 4th of July weekend. I want to know what you're doing for 4th of July. But the Western Swing is where it's kind of like show and tell, right? Like if you've been working on it, this is where it's a mini thing that people want to sweep it. They want to go out there and get it. They want to be successful at these tracks. You don't want to go to Sonoma and lose. You want to go there and win so you could celebrate and drink all the wine. We're first time back at Pacific Raceways in a long time. Those people in Seattle, hopefully they're desperate to come see us, as desperate as we are to go see them. This is a big deal, the Western Swing. How are you going to handle it? What are your plans?
Everybody wants to sweep it. I mean, you can't do it unless you start with a win in Denver. I'm lucky. I've got a great crew chief duo that are savvy going up on the hill. And that, as a driver, is all you can ask for. Somebody that just knows their business to go up a mile high and make these cars run without blowing the body off it every time. So knock on wood.
Yeah.
So I always look forward. The West Coast Swing for me, I mean, Sonoma's home. My first win ever was in Seattle. So our Napa customers are in full force at all three of those. Reeves Auto at Sonoma, he has the whole top floor suites from the Sacramento area. So we have a contingent of Napa people every year. It's crazy. And then we have the Wilsons and West Bay Napa people that just flood the Seattle race. So anyway, for us, it's a big deal. And, you know, you want to get through it. And the toughest thing is getting through Denver first. But, you know, it's like a homecoming for me to go to Sonoma. And now it's a Toyota race. So I'm a Toyota guy now. And I can't wait to roll into there. The Eric Medlin dinner is on Thursday night again. We haven't had that since the pandemic. And we haven't been back to Seattle. So that is going to be a huge event. You watch all the Canadians coming down. It's going to be a lot of fun. And then we take a quick breath. And next thing you know, we're at Topeka and then Brainerd and then Indy. And so My wife and I were just talking. This year is flying by so fast. So it's going to be a nice weekend off, like you said, hang out for the 4th. And my son turns 21 Saturday.
What are you going to do? First of all, it's got to be so weird for you as a dad. I don't have kids, but I'm watching my little nephew grow up real fast. And it's like sad at the same time. Remember when he was a little guy, but 21. Wow.
Yeah.
Like what's the plan?
Letting my daughter take over the plan. I started too. And I thought when I was that age, I didn't want my dad planning my 21st. So we're going to do something fun and then let her kind of plan it with her friends and take him out. But, for me, man, it's the ultimate weekend. I think we've got everything running but us. So it's great that I'm home. And we got F1. We've got NASCAR. We got IndyCar. I think they're at Mid-Ohio. So all my teammates are running. And that's the best weekend. Get my big green egg out, cook, hang out, relax, and just kind of catch up on life. We've been on the road a lot.
Yeah, first of all, I've hung with your mom and dad, and I think they can party. So don't sell them short. That is number one. I've hung with them. And you mentioned, I saw you do the tortilla face slap thing. Like you've been participating in a lot of social related stuff.
Didn't know that was a thing. And
I didn't either. I learned about it from you and now I'm starting to see more. So you were on the very ragged edge of that one.
Yeah. And the first one hurt when she hit me. I'm not gonna lie to you. It shocked the hell out of me. I was like, what just happened?
She wanted to.
I didn't understand. She just said, you can't spit your water out first. I'm like, what's going on here? Whack. And then my tortilla ripped. And then Antron, he just put his up yesterday with his daughter. That was pretty cool. So, yeah, I mean, it's fun. You got to stay on top of that. And that's what you and I talked about. You know, one of the first things I did, besides obviously hiring a great team and people around me, was to make sure we hired Cassandra Powick. Steve Torrance's wife has a great company that we do our social media with them. And Allie McCormick, that is our PR person. Having to stay on top of that, they're all hip on that. Allie McCormick brings out all the stars, you know, and all the people, and she gets them to the track where we open these new eyes and these, it's a lot of fun. And so Cass is doing a great job, our social, and that's all part of it. And then I have my daughter. So she keeps me on the cutting edge, I guess, of stuff that's out there I never would have imagined in a million years.
You've started a show called Winging It with Ron and, you're up there and in Massachusetts, we had some cool stuff going on. Brian has been on board with it. It's fun. You're trying wings. What has been your takeaway so far from that experience?
I've learned a lot and it's gotten to be fun. I was not really into it when it started. It was going to be something fun, kind of like Barstool does with a pizza. And, it was just going to be something fun. And it's turned into something pretty cool. The fans are really getting into it. And Norwalk, we went downtown Norwalk, this little place, which I'm going to go back to when I go to Night Under Fire. I'm going to take my daughter with me. It's been fun to learn more, but these different sauces and just the way they're done and the history and just how much I love letting fans know that are going to plan to go to a race that maybe they have a place they can go hang out. And the fans that are in town, I tweeted the other day that I was at that place. And all of a sudden fans just showed up and were asking what wings to get. So it was fun that we were having a couple beers on a Thursday with fans at a nice establishment, not far from the racetrack, just kind of hanging out. And I was being a fan, just kind of hanging with other fans. So it's been fun. It's going to be tough to pick the best one at the end of the year. So we've got a lot of, I was just thinking this morning, what about Brainerd? We're going to have to do something in the zoo. So I don't know if we're going to do something near the track. We're going to start planning that. See how it's gotten. I didn't care about doing it. And now it's, I get messages every day about where I need to go for the next couple races.
Added responsibility, right? But you got to do it. I think Brainerd may be a competition amongst the campgrounds or something, but can I give you some advice?
Yeah.
Okay. During that, because I've been studying them, right? And I'm a fan of these style shows, okay? You have to wait until the most uncomfortable moment for the person that you're with, like when the sauce is really burning their insides. You know, they're starting to sweat, to perspire. And you know that because you're probably feeling it too.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It is in that moment where you must ask a probing personal question. Like to me, that is the secret of the deal. Like if it's Brian or if it's something, like you got to ask something tough where they're thinking, What? I gotta answer this now.
Oh, I gotcha.
Answer is yes, because everybody puts up some sort of facade.
Yeah.
Of coolness. Yeah. But in that moment.
Yeah, your nose is running. It's hot. Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
You can't maintain the facade. Yeah, that's when you're going to get a real genuine answer.
Yeah, you don't have time to think.
You don't have time to think. So you got to ask like something that whatever it is that you really want to know the answer. All right.
Give me some examples of, you don't have to do it now, but maybe some of the people watching this, give me examples of good personal questions I should ask while they're under duress, of the eyes watering and wanting to run to the bathroom.
Right. They're in totally stressed out. They cannot handle anymore. They're barely dealing with the hot sauce. They're barely dealing with this situation being on camera. They're already looking a little foolish with things coming out of their orifices, et cetera. And then you nail them. And then you nail them with a really brutal, personal, probing, private question about their life, their career, their whatever. And that's where you're going to get the real gold. And they'll be annoyed also, which is great.
I like it.
You're having beer. Ron, this has been great. I appreciate you giving us this insight into everything from the Toyota stuff to the race wins to Guido and Medlin and those guys. And you're doing great. So far, so good, right? This team is off to a good start. The Ron Capps team owner experience, I don't think it could have started off much better.
No. The final round, number one qualifier, Pomona, and no, it could not have started better. And that worried me. I thought, oh, my God, how does it get any better besides a win? And then we got the win and then another one. So, yeah, you know, it's again, great people, but we're just having fun. You come by our pit area and there's rock and roll playing, and not quietly. It's playing. The guys are enjoying work. And the other day I was mad. I got it out of the groove the first lap, I felt, and I know I did. And Guido, he looked over and he said, hey, we're having fun. Don't get down on yourself. And I was so mad. I could not wait for that Friday night run to sort of redeem myself. So I love that part. I love that Guido's like, hey, and the crew guys, pat me on the butt. Don't worry about it. We're having fun. So that's what the fans, I think, are noticing more than ever. And it means a lot when the fans say that they're happy for what we're doing as a team.
Yeah. No, this is it. You have a chance now to define this the way you think it should be defined as a team owner, and you're doing a great job. This person wants to see the tortilla challenge between you and Antron somewhere on the swing. Like, bring out the hardcore. You and AB slapping each other in the face with tortillas. I don't know. That could get ugly.
He makes me laugh just looking at him. All he has to do is his eyes. He does this and does, you know. And I'm going to lose that. That's a lose. If you've ever, Antron and I did the dad jokes thing a few years back, and I was laughing before he even finished the punchline. So that's not, we need to find the next thing where I actually have a chance against Antron.
I got you. I got you. And if in pre-pandemic world, you could just spit the water on him.
Right.
We don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
Okay. Everybody's saying thanks for being on the show. I appreciate it, Ron. Great job. Congratulations on your Bristol win. We didn't get to do it right after, but here we are a couple weeks later. You made a little time. I appreciate it. Enjoy your July 4th weekend. Happy birthday to the kid. Enjoy your F1, all of that stuff. And we'll see you in Denver.
Will do. Thanks for having me, Joe. See you guys.
Thanks, Ron. Be good. Take care. Say hi to Cousin Donnie. There he goes. Ron Capps with us here on WFO Radio. And now I'm frozen up. And what's that? There it is. Now I'm frozen up. There goes Capps. It's like I had a moment of panic, like my screen froze. It's like, that's good that it froze after the interview was over, but it's bad that it froze at all. How about Capps? Now, listen, I love Ron because I just want to get to the bottom of what's going on. I want to hear honest interviews. I want to hear what they're feeling and thinking inside the team. Clearly, I was joking about Guido getting penalized by the team owner. If you didn't pick up the sarcasm, you really need to work harder on that. All right, I got a couple of things I want to talk to everybody about. And your final comments in the comments section, please put them up. But let me tell you about the people who make it possible for me to go WFO. Like Marvin Rodak and RodaksCoffeeandGrills.com. Every day, Rodak's Coffee, every day, starts off great. 817-924-6821. You should really try this stuff. Everybody that's trying it, they reach out to me. They're like, wow, man, it was really good. It's a whole experience. You hear about the Norwalk experience. There's the Rodak's experience. When he ships you a box and the bean, it comes full bean and you're grinding the beans and you're super excited about the blend or two that you have. Give him a call, 817-924-6821. Marvin Rodak. Tell him you heard about it on WFO. when he picks up the phone, just go WFO. And he'll be like, oh, here we go again. Marvin Rodak. Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School, the dragster adventure at frankhawley.com. You can drive a dragster. You're not going to drive a dragster and have this experience for a more convenient and smaller price. It's just not going to happen. That's why they decided it. Get out of the grandstands, get into the cockpit of a race car, bring your friends, bring your sales team, bring your best customers, do a team building experience at Frank Hawley's Dragster Adventure. Or maybe you want your Super Comp license. That's a good idea too. Maybe you want a top alcohol funny car license. Call Frank, frankhawley.com at the website, samtech.edu. This is a little different, right? It's for young people out there that are looking for a career in engine building and machining. We just recorded a new episode of Hidden Horsepower with Charlie Garrett, a legendary engine builder in drag racing and now in sprint cars. And just hearing him talk about his life doing something he loves was amazing. And Samtech can give you a start in that. And you don't have to go and like try to sweep in some shop, which also you can do, but you can get an education and get way ahead early on. Go to samtech.edu, call Brian Massengill, and tell him you heard about it on WFO Radio. Plus our friends at Phillips-Connect.com. Of course, Total Seal Piston Rings, the leader in ring seal technology. VP Racing Fuel got that 25% off for engine builders on VP Lubricants. Make sure I get that right. It's the VP Lubricants side for engine builders for one more day. Speaking of urgency to purchase, right? Get on the website, reach out to them, 25% off MSP, the manufacturer's suggested price, and get on VP Lubricants. We know that they are doing a great job out there. And then FTI Performance Transmissions and Torque Converters. Appreciate those guys. We got the WFO Radio store up there, and people were asking me, about the WFO Radio store and where they can get some of the cool stuff. Like I got on today. This is a WFO Sure Shot, the classic Miami Hollywood Speedway. It is now gone. It's a movie theater. It no longer exists. But you can get yourself a cool t-shirt thanks to WFO. We put this thing together. I'm going to put the link in the chat section. So if you want to rock retro shirts from tracks that no longer exist, we got one up there, not to mention like our great friends, Gutierrez Brothers Racing, who surprised me in a big time fashion, all rocking the WFO giant logo shirts this past weekend. But definitely get on board. I think let's make a logo shirt for Miami Hollywood Speedway so that everybody that represented Miami Hollywood, we got front, we got back, we got small front, big back, we got all three different versions just to make it as easy as possible. Miami Hollywood Speedway. But you can also join the Patreons. We got other stuff too, you know, mugs and whatnot. And they go on sale every once in a while, guys. Wait for the sale. Well, you don't have to, but they go on sale every once in a while. And then there's the Patreons. These are the people who we have announced that Justin Ashley is going to give our Patreons a meet and greet at his pit out at the U.S. Nationals in Vegas too. Thanks to Justin Ashley for doing that. And our meetups, the Patreon-only meetups that are going on out there in Indy and Vegas, too. It's going to be great. But you get some swag. You get a pin. You get a patch. You get decals. And I always try to throw in a little extra for everybody out there. But big thanks to all of our Patreons. No ignition so far this week. It'll happen. I'm confident. And if it doesn't, it's not happening on Monday because it's 4th of July. Speaking of that, 4th of July. Guys, you know, I watch the news all the time. I know all the craziness that's going on in our country. I know about the war over there, Russia and Ukraine. And I hope everybody has still got a steeled spine on that one, because that's a big deal. It's much larger than that. But America is the shining city on a hill for all countries. And, you know, everything that we've done hasn't been all perfect or great, but we are the greatest country in the world. And we always try to get better, and we learn from our mistakes. And if somebody's wearing a white hat and somebody's a good guy's out there, it's got to be us. It's a big responsibility. And I talk about my grandfather flying in a bomber. He was a waste gunner and a B-24J Liberator over Europe. Was shot down a couple of times, survived. He had died, I wouldn't be here. I'd be a different person, right? My dad in the United States Marine Corps as a drill instructor during the Vietnam era. Right? It's so important. And what do they say that, a house divided against itself cannot stand? On weekends, they say, Abraham Lincoln said, our country, if you erase it from the world, what is left? And on weekends like 4th of July, we need to think about that first. What does it mean? All those that sacrificed, all those that are still sacrificing, that are in the service right now, people that are, that hold the fabric of our world together, firefighters, the first responders, and the police, and the teachers, and the truckers, and the dock workers, people that keep it going for America. Because, you know, if America were to ever fall apart or to fail or to split up into a bunch of factions of people angry at each other, it would be a bad thing for the world. China's not splitting up. That's not going to happen, right? All those other countries that are authoritarian, not free, like we are. We get together and we vote every couple of years and it's goes good, goes bad, goes good, goes bad. We can correct it. It's July 4th weekend. That means something. So when you grill, when you barbecue, when you're doing whatever you do, lighting off your fireworks, don't hold them in your hands. Do not put them in your mouth. Read the instructions, right? Spend a little time thinking about your grandparents and how they served and the greatest generation and what they did and all the people through Korea and Vietnam and Iraq and Afghanistan and everybody that served and continues to serve, the Coast Guard, Border Patrol, everybody that serves. Why are they doing it? It's so that we can do what we want and enjoy the life that we want and love the life that we have and look out at the world and think, my goodness, we're so lucky and proud to be Americans. It's never going to be perfect. There's never going to be a day where everybody just agrees on everything. Oh, we're all in agreement. That wouldn't be America. That's not what it is. It's about how you treat the people that you disagree with and how they treat you. That's what it's about. And that's why we have gotten to this spot of being the greatest country that has ever existed in the history of the world to this point. And hopefully will continue to be. That's the way I look at it. July 4th weekend. Enjoy your 4th of July. Let's see what everybody's got to say. Ron, always entertaining. Great informative show. Tease your NHRA driver cards. Where are they? Oh, yes. Everybody is on board now. They want to know, what should I do with the 1993 NHRA Winston drag racing cards given to me by KI from CIP1, one of our banner ad sponsors. For all you Volkswagen people out there, air-cooled. He's been running banner ads on WFOradio.com for a couple of years now. And he's like, Joe, I got something for you. What you do with them? It's up to you. I should have asked Caps what he thought. What should I do with them, guys? Should I leave them in the container package? Or should I open them on the air? Maybe I'll open them right now. Nah, I'm not going to do that. Maybe someday. Love the show today. Give it a thumbs up, folks. Yeah, everyone is telling me that I'm doing a poor job of asking the audience to give thumbs ups and shares and comments on the YouTube channel. And someone even said, you should ask a compelling question right at the end. All right, all you people on YouTube, in the comments section, here's my compelling question. Is Funny Car only a two-driver race between Matt Hagen and Robert Height? Or, and who are they? The other drivers that are in championship contention. Write their names. Tell us why. In the comments section on the video on YouTube, not the live chat. Apparently, that's totally different. Everyone's saying, what's up? Carrie. Enjoy watching the designated pair segments. Thank you very much. Happy 4th. Happy 4th. Love this country, guys. Love this country. Even at our worst, we're still the best. Pretty amazing. Thanks to Ron Caps. Appreciate all you out there. WFO.